we present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Peter Jones, and Janet Brown in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. And once again, I'm going to ask our four panelists to talk, if they can, for just a minute on a subject that I will give them without hesitation, without repeating themselves, and without deviating from the subject on the card. And let us begin the show with Kenneth Williams. Kenneth, a lovely subject to start with. A lovely subject for you, eccentrics. Can you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
What springs to my mind immediately is eccentricity, which is particularly vocal, and I think, therefore, of Dr. Spooner and his wonderful remark apropos the arrival of a very great explorer indeed, calling out to his wife, "Come and meet him, he's walked from Land's End to Johnagaunt." And I thought, how delightful. Got no laugh at all. What a wonderful mistake to make. On the other hand, eccentricity can take the form of a certain gentleman who lay underneath a vehicle in the middle of Piccadilly Circus for a bit.
Clement Freud has challenged you.
Deviation.
Why?
You can't... Eros is in the middle of Piccadilly Circus.
Enough said, Clement, a very good challenge. So you get a point for a correct challenge and you take over the subject of eccentrics, and there are 19 seconds left, starting now.
I was once invited to a dinner at a club called The Eccentric, where I expected to see all sorts of strange people with balloons and practical jokes, telling puns and sticking pins into each other, and instead...
Peter Jones has challenged.
You don't tell puns, yes. You make puns.
No.
Oh, dear, what a difficult decision. I'll tell you what I'll do. I think that's such a difficult point on which to make a decision that I'm going to put it to the superior wisdom of our beautifully well-dressed audience here and ask them if they would judge on whether you tell puns or make puns. In other words, if you agree with Peter Jones's challenge, you cheer for him. If you disagree, you boo for Clement Freud, and you all do it together now. They agree with you, Peter. You make puns and you don't tell puns. So, Peter, you have 6 seconds left. You take over the subject, having got a point for a correct challenge. Eccentrics, starting now.
John Mitten.
And Kenneth Williams.
I think an obvious hesitation.
Rubbish! Rubbish!
Oh, they're starting early this week, aren't they? Kenneth, rubbish, as Peter Jones said. 5 seconds are left on eccentrics. We're still with you, Peter, starting now.
John Mitten, Squire of Nescliffe in Shropshire, was one of the great English eccentrics.
Ian Messiter blows the whistle, which he's been practising for about 25 years, and he does it when 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gets an extra point, and it was Peter Jones, and he's in the lead at the end of the first round. Clement Freud, will you begin the second round? The subject is how to cook locusts. Will you tell us, if you can, in just a minute, something about that, starting now?
I suppose, in a word, the answer would be reluctantly. But if you insist on cooking locusts, the best thing to do would be to put them into a marinade and marinate them for at least...
Janet Brown.
Repetition.
No, love, he said marinade and marinate.
Oh.
What a pity. It's nice to hear from you, Janet.
Yes, oh, well, I'm here, you know, I am here, yes.
She's our guest, she's only played once
before. I did the wrong thing, but I'm here.
Well, twice. She's brought her mother and her sister and her brother. And bad luck, Janet.
Never mind.
But Clement gets a point for a wrong challenge, and there are 47 seconds left. How to cook locusts, starting now.
There is a pernicious chemical solution into which a locust can be suspended, and the skin thereof is removed after total immersion in no less than about an hour and three quarters, whereafter you could produce a chocolate locust, something enormously popular in China, Japan, and Sumatra, where it's particularly treasured as an after-cocktail snack.
Yeah.
But in...
Peter Jones' challenge.
Hesitation.
It's
yes.
Not difficult waiting for Kenneth Williams to get applause.
Peter Jones, you've got in there 15 to go. How to cook locusts starting now?
The best way is to cook them in the same way as Australians cook parrots. into boiling water.
Two ways and three cooks in 15 words. It really is too much.
Cook is actually on the card.
Yes, no, but not three times. No.
I didn't say it three times. I mean, just spoken.
So the best way...
Repetition of way.
There was a repetition of way, yes, Clement. You have 11 seconds.
Repetition
on
of way, is it?
Yes.
The
yes.
best way to cook parrots.
The best way to cook locusts is the way they cook parrots in Australia.
Yes.
You're quite satisfied,
they put them in
Jones.
A boiling pan of water. With an axe head. I want to tell them this because it's terribly useful.
All right, tell them.
Very useful. You put them in boiling water with an axe head, and when the latter is soft enough to get a fork into it, they're cooked.
Thank you, Peter.
Very useful.
It's useful information in just a minute because it entertains them. But Clement Freud, you had a correct challenge. 11 seconds, starting now.
A deep-fried locust is treasured by the people of Afghanistan. Hot oil, flour, egg yolk, prawn, batter, flour.
You were lucky there, Clement, because the flower came back just before the 60 seconds, but nobody challenged you. You got the extra point for speaking as the whistle went, and you're one ahead of Peter Jones at the end of the round. Janet Brown, will you begin the next round? Janet, welcome back again, and would you try and talk for just a minute on doing people good? Starting now.
Doing people good. Well, this is a subject very close to my heart, because if there is one thing I enjoy, it is doing people and doing it, may I just say, as well as can be expected. By that I mean that if I happen to be practicing some of the voices that I use on television or in cabaret, I may be driving along in my car and I decide to rehearse. And then I start with a voice, perhaps a Cilla Black. And of course off I go with, "Hello, Chuck. It's lovely to be here." And while I'm sitting in my car, and while I'm turning the wheel, I look out of the window, and array, there's somebody I'd like to say hello to. But of course, as soon as I've rehearsed that one, then immediately I think to myself, enough of that. And then my thought turns to perhaps a Hilda Baker. Well, of course, as soon as I start to be a Hilda Baker, then I say to myself, the moment that I'm asked to appear, in just a minute, please, I shall say, it is a moment that fills me with neuralgia. Well, this is the sort of thing that I thoroughly enjoy.
And we thoroughly enjoy it as well. Whether you break the rules or not, it doesn't matter when you're in person.
I'm sure
brilliantly
it
as
doesn't.
That. Janet, because you kept going without being interrupted, you get a point for speaking when the whistle went and an extra point for not being interrupted. So you have 2 points at the end of that round. You're in third place. You're ahead of Kenneth Williams, but you're...
Oh, how lovely.
You're a little bit behind Peter and Clement. Peter Jones, will you begin the next round, the subject, the moon? Will you tell us something about it in just a minute, starting now?
Well, the moon is a spherical planet... distance.
Kenneth Williams.
I heard an
I think you've got some hesitation, yes. There are 55 seconds left, and you have the subject of the moon starting now.
This was the theme for those beautiful lines by Walter Delamere, and I think it would all do you good to be refreshed on those points. Silently, softly, now the moon... walks the...
I thought he hesitated. Or was it just a breath?
It was so quiet I couldn't hear if he was talking. I don't think he did, Janet, because...
You think it wasn't...
You've just ruined one of the most beautiful excerpts.
Well, since nobody could hear it except the listeners at home, we don't know how beautiful it was, Kenneth, so I'll give you the benefit of the doubt until you have 40 seconds to continue, starting now.
Those men that landed there say we've made a giant leap for mankind, and I thought that was sort of nice. You know, a very homely thing to say in such alien surroundings when they couldn't even go to the lavatory and do the other things that we expect to be able to do in the way of ordinary life, you know. I mean, after all, in the ordinary sense of the word, one is expected to do the ordinary things that ordinary...
Kevin Freud is challenged.
Repetition of ordinary?
Yes, definitely. Definitely, yes. I tried to be fair. There are 18 seconds left on the moon with you, Clement, starting now.
The moon is a very popular subject with poets in all countries, like Au clair de la lune, mon ami Pierrot, which is translated to At the light of the moon, my friend Pete. This is sung in German, where it is Auf...
Peter Jones?
Repetition.
What of?
Well, he repeated it in English after he'd said it in French.
I think that for that I will revert to the little thing I used to do in the last year in the series, give you a bonus point for a very good challenge, but as it wasn't correct within the rules of the game. But Clement keeps the subject, and there's 1 second to go, starting now.
David Niven.
So Clement Freud is still in the lead, just ahead of Peter Jones, and Kenneth Williams, will you begin the next round? That is your turn. The subject, Louis the 15th. Well, knowing your interest and love of history, there's one that Ian's brought for you this week, and would you tell us something about him in just a minute, starting now?
Not a man I admire, rather a dirty old toad, I think he is. Really was legitimately married to Maria, the King of Poland's daughter, and instead made an illicit relationship with Madame Pompadour, another creature called Dubarry, and issued promissory notes, none of which were ever made, and plunged his country into that fearful 7 years' war with, of all people, that mighty power, Great Britain. And what happened? They lost most of their colonies in the East Indies, and they lost Canada into the bargain. All through that great
Peter
twirl.
Jones has challenged.
Repetition of Lost.
Yes, I'm afraid you...
Well, this, I got me point over. Don't you worry yourself.
Peter Jones, there are 24 seconds on Louis XV, starting now.
Well, he gave his name to the rather curly furniture that one still sees around the place, sometimes in old-fashioned cinema foyers and places of that kind, theatres. He lived with...
Kenneth Williams.
Yes, no. The air was silent.
I think you hesitated. And
Well, that wasn't a challenge.
Well,
the challenge was that I said
I thought the was a hesitation. I think that's what most people go, because...
Now, you were sitting here, weren't you, Janet?
And why don't you shut your great mouth?
No.
What a cheek, isn't it?
I buzzed.
He's already argued with the chairman, which is absolutely against the rules, isn't it? You never hear me argue with the chairman, do you? I respect the chair, don't I? Ain't I always shown respect? Don't I know my place?
Janet,
I know my station. Don't worry yourself. Great Portland Street.
I agree that there was a hesitation, Kenneth, so you have 12 seconds to take back the subject of Louis XV, starting now.
And when he died, they found that he was suffering appallingly from infestation of lice and the pox. Now, I don't think that's a very nice thing to have said about you.
Well, Kenneth Williams got a lot of points in that round.
Yes, I did.
Now, this...
You've got... I'm in the lead, you mean?
No, you're still in fourth place. You're actually just ahead of our guest, Janet Brown, but after the way you behaved, you don't deserve to be.
I see.
We're back with Clement Freud. Clement, the subject is the green eye of the little yellow god. Will you tell us something about it in just a minute, starting now?
It's really a pretty tatty poem by a man called Service.
Peter Jones' challenge,
isn't it? It's written by a man called Milton Hayes.
Absolutely right.
He used to be called Service.
Actually, you're all wrong. It's written by two men. Two names are credited with the authorship of that monologue, if you're interested, Mr. Peter Jones. Mr. Know-all, Peter Jones.
Kenneth.
I suppose he was a contemporary of yours at the time.
I haven't come here to be treated like a load of rubbish.
Well, then shut your trap.
You've been here before. You know what it's like.
Peter, will you take over the subject? 28 seconds, starting now.
And he used to do monologues called The Meanderings of Monty, which were humorous and sometimes political comments, very mild ones. But this new...
Hesitation.
Yes, but I'm afraid Kenneth's light came on first.
There you are. You see, it's happened again.
It was. It was Kenneth's light come on first, really, Janet. I'm sorry. Kenneth, 17 seconds, the green eye of the little yellow god starting now.
There's a green-eyed yellow idol to the north of Kathmandu. There's a little marble cross below the town. And a broken-hearted woman tends the grave of Makaroo.
while the little god forever gazes down.
Clement, yes?
Yes,
yes, indeed, yes. He waited, paused for dramatic effect, didn't get his round of applause, and there are 4 seconds, Clement, on the subject, starting now.
It is important to remember that Little Yellow God has a small G as opposed to a capital G.
Well, Clement Freud was again speaking as a whistle when got the extra point, and in spite of me taking the subject away at some point, he has increased his lead over Peter Jones in second place. Peter's only one ahead of Kenneth, and Kenneth 3 ahead of Janet. Peter Jones, your turn to begin. The subject is My Destiny. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
I think my destiny is to go on doing good and helping others as I have always done up to now. And I dare say fairly soon Kenneth Williams's luck may well run out, and I shall be there, don't forget, with a bowl of hot soup and a crusty roll. And perhaps when Clement Freud has difficulties and decides finally to buy a second pair of thermal underwear.
Janet Brown.
Hesitation.
Yes, you see, your buzzer came in ahead of the others then?
Yes, it did. I'm rather sorry about that.
The subject's My Destiny, Janet. You've got in with 34 seconds left, starting now.
Some people feel that by looking at the stars, they are able to tell their destiny. I don't believe in any of that at all. I think this sort of thing has been greatly overrated, and I, for one, am not going to go along with it. On the other hand, there are those who decide that playing cards, looking at them, will tell them about their destiny. Again, I don't agree. I think we should ourselves be free to feel that each day of our lives is a fresh one, and that new events will unfold in their own way, and that we need not turn to either cards, moons, stars, or any other subject to know which way we should go in life. Therefore, our destiny is completely free, and none of us need to feel that we should be tied down in any particular way to any one subject. I myself have no intention of being left alone in that state. I know that as far as life is concerned, I shall go on regardless, day after day.
Janet, I'll tell you, that spontaneous round of applause is because on the 60 seconds, I pulled the whistle out of Ian Mester's mouth. And his teeth as well, unfortunately. Which meant that you just had to continue because you didn't know what had happened. You went way past the mark and everybody enjoyed it. They all clapped. And we give you an extra point because you're a guest. And you're still in third place. But you are now equal with Peter Jones. You're one ahead of Kenneth Williams. And Clement Freud is still in the lead. Kenneth's turn to begin. And the subject is pictures. Can you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
Going to the pictures with Mary. A couple of 1 and 3s for 2 tonight. 6 penny worth of all sorts to eat with Mickey Mouse. We'll be laughing more than anyone in the house. Do you stuff Miss Garbo with Gary, 'cause Mary's going to the pictures tonight. With a little number I used to put over in the old days when I was entertaining the troops. I've done it all over the world, India, Burma, Hong Kong, Shanghai, you name it, I was there. And I was cheered on by those lads.
What? Young Kenneth, you were challenged just before.
I used to be young. Who challenged me?
You're the youngest middle-aged man I've ever met. Clement challenged you.
Who?
Clement Freud.
Madagascar.
What was that?
He said, you name it.
Oh, I see. So he's named Madagascar.
It was quite funny about half an hour ago. I mean,
yes, by keeping going, you'll rather spoil the joke.
Yes.
But it was an incorrect challenge, so you do have to keep going, and there are 27 seconds left, pictures starting now.
One of the finest pictures is on the ceiling of a very beautiful room called the Banqueting Hall, decorated by Inigo Jones, the exterior, but this ceiling is by Rubens. And you can go in there, you have to pay, unfortunately.
Peter Jones has challenged.
A repetition of ceiling.
Yes. Yes, the ceiling.
Yes, well, of course, at first I was talking about sealing wax, you see.
Peter, there are 13 seconds for you to talk about pictures starting now.
The Mona Lisa is one of the most beautiful pictures, I suppose, in the world.
Kenneth Williams.
It isn't.
Rubbish. I mean, sitting there staring at the most beautiful picture in the world. Kenneth, how dare you? I don't think it is. It's a load of rubbish. Right. And that smile's ghastly.
You don't think so?
Drowning drear.
It doesn't matter in just a minute whether what you think. If you don't think it's a beautiful picture, Peter does.
Oh, if that's what you want to do, write me off. Oh, that's all right. Just kick me as you pass.
I have to make decisions. I'm not kicking anyone. Now, Peter Jones still has the subject. There are 9 seconds left, starting now.
As a matter of fact, I myself prefer the self-portraits of Rembrandt.
Kenneth Williams.
There were 2 selfs there, so he repeated himself.
I myself, he said, myself and a self-portrait. That's not repetition of the words.
The sound occurred twice, therefore.
It's the words. It is the words.
The sound occurred twice, but you said Hong Kong. Can't help repeating the sound.
You see, they'll try anything in this game.
Well, he's so desperate
to win.
Well,
I've got to get in somewhere. They've never heard of me half the time in the show. I'm sitting here like a church mouse.
Someday I'm going to persuade you to come out of your shell.
Yes. Church mice don't have shells.
No, they...
We've played the game less this week than we've ever played it before. It's been most of the time Kenneth in his shell and everything else has been going on. There are 4.5 seconds left with you, Peter Jones. Pictures starting now.
Gradually aging over the years so that the lines... and the...
Well, Peter Jones got that valued point for speaking as the whistle went, and he's now caught up with Clement Freud, and they're both in the lead equal... Of course, if they're together. But Kenneth Williams and Janet Brown are also equal in second place, a few points behind. Clement, your turn to begin. The subject, conveyancing. Can you tell us something about that in the game starting now?
Conveyancing has always seemed to me rather an unnecessary legal process, whereby if you want to purchase a house, you're forced to go to a solicitor who charges you a great deal of money to do something which you could perfectly well do yourself. As a result of conveyancing, you are sent an account for some 1.5% to 2% of the price which you had intended to pay, and then get VAT at whatever percentage is valid at a particular time.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Very boring.
Repeated percentage.
Yes, he did. And there are 31
Why
seconds.
Why were you listening?
Well, it's a good thing somebody was, because otherwise you might have continued for a whole minute on the subject. There are 31 seconds on conveyancing with Peter Jones starting now.
Actually, there is an organization which you can belong to for a very modest annual fee.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
Belong to which you can belong. It's a deviation of good grammar.
Yes, but colloquially,
that's all it was.
It's a deviation of
good
grammar.
No, colloquially, people often put the preposition after the verb when they're speaking.
Not nice people.
Do you think there's any nice people on Just a Minute or the way we play it? We might be nice after the game. Clement, I disagree with the challenge. 25 seconds on conveyancing, Peter, starting now.
And you can get this service done for you by paying...
Clement Freud.
Repetition of service.
Yes, you did say service before.
Oh, yes, thank you.
But Clement's got in with another, with a correct challenge, and he's got 22.5 seconds conveyancing starting now.
Lawyers to whom you go tend to send out searches, which are inquiries to local authorities, whether district, county, or even more central, to determine whether or...
Janet Brown.
A hesitation.
No, I don't think so, Janet.
Between each word. Though.
Yeah, just as you were about to say the word too, there was a slight hesitation in my ears.
No, yes. I don't really think so.
In any case, I think it's getting so complicated, I can't understand it at all.
That's his idea.
Laying right into the lawyer's hands.
Yes. 9 seconds are left, Clement, starting now.
Do you have a garden, a porch, a front yard, a back passage... Or what is the sort of question which you are likely to make?
No, I'm sorry. Peter, quite legitimately, Peter Jones did challenge. Your light came on before the whistle, and before I give a decision, I've got a terrible situation. Peter Jones and Clement Freud are equal. So, Peter, what is your challenge?
Well, he repeated question.
I don't think he did.
You don't?
No.
Well, that would be a happy solution to your problem. Not to remember it.
I will let the audience be the final judges. Do you think Clement...
They can't remember. They'd lost track of what he was talking about ages ago.
Well, I will be fair and put it to the audience. Did Clement Freud repeat question? Yes or no? All together now.
No.
There we are. Absolutely unanimous. Clement Freud, you have half a second on convincing, starting now.
Question.
And there we are. And as you realise, we have come to the end of the contest, so very quickly to wind up, Kenneth Williams and Janet Brown were equal as they were when the round started in the third place, a few points behind Peter Jones, but Peter finished up 2 points behind this week's winner, once again, Clement Freud. You've enjoyed Just a Minute. We hope you've enjoyed it as much at home as our audience in the studio have. And until we all get together again, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The programme was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by John Browell.